Welcome to this episode of Tap Into College Golf. I'm your host, Brandi Jackson, founder of Brandi Jackson Golf, where young female golfers can come join the team in search of coaching, consulting, mentorship, and guidance on all things junior golf related and, of course, the college recruiting process. There's also access to an online course, or if you're looking for some fun girls golf lifestyle apparel, even added that to the collection last year. So be sure to go check out www.brandijacksongolf.com. That's Brandi with an I.
Welcome to this episode of Tap Into College Golf. Have a new type of guest on with me today. Have not really been able to have anybody who's semi-currently playing college golf, but yet, as we all know, the seasons, you know, were canceled for the rest of the year, and so things are in a little bit of a limbo right now, but was excited to have Natalie Srinivasan. Hopefully I said that right. If not, we're going to make her say it correctly, because I just asked her, and then as soon as I get ready to say it. But Natalie is just graduated, finished. Again, you're going to, during this whole episode, we're going to have to kind of wing it for what this weird scenario is that we're in right now. But Natalie played at Furman, just finished up her senior year. And at the time when everything was called off, she was the Gostat number one active ranked player in the country, was having a really good year. The team was playing well, had a lot of stuff going. And as we all know, you know, everybody kind of got hit with the cancellations and everything. And so we want to kind of cover that a little bit. We also want to move forward from there and let Natalie talk a little bit about her time at Furman and her experience there, her plans for the future, and the advice she has for all of you out there going through this process and then going through this junior golf phase of, you know, wanting to play college golf and what to expect. So Natalie, excited to have you on here. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Brandi. Really good to talk to you.
Yes, I'm excited. I know I see you all a good bit, and Coach Hull and I talk, but I know we haven't really had a chance to really kind of catch up both here in this area, but, you know, just haven't crossed as much once you get to college golf, I guess. I'm excited to kind of hear a little bit about what your experience actually was and how, you know, how things were there at Furman for you. So kind of, well, let's kind of get the elephant out of the room, I guess, first is just, you know, I know it's still fresh. I know it's been a rough couple of weeks. I know, you know, you were having a good season individually. You know, the team, I know, was excited for what was going on. How has that been? How tough was that? Talk a little bit about that. And like I said, then I want to get in a little more positive spin with it, but just kind of shed a little light on how that went down and how tough that was.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, like, certainly not the way that I envisioned my spring senior season ending. I know it's just been kind of hard the last few weeks, just kind of wrap my head around what's going on, and played my last college round, didn't really even know. But honestly, just been trying to look at the positives. I know I've been with my team and talking to my coaches a lot, just trying to, you know, just talk through it and trying to look at the positives. And I mean, I have had so many fun times at Furman, and just this spring semester, we've had a really great time with all the girls. So I'm just trying to focus on that. And anyway, it would have ended, but this is just not the way that I had pictured it. So it's just trying to deal with that.
Yeah, and I understand. I know it was, even some coaches, I think, said they were just surprised by just how hard it was and how hard it was for them to, you know, and breaking the news and seeing, especially the seniors, you know, just seeing how emotional it was. And I mean, I can't imagine. I know it was in that position years ago. And yeah, I mean, to have it just kind of feel like you get pulled out from under your feet, especially, like I said, you were having a good year. A little bit of how my senior year was at Furman. So to think about, you know, not being able to finish it up and see what you get to do, you know, it's like I said, everybody's kind of going through a lot of the same stuff. So you kind of just got to take what you can, which for you will be, I know you eventually have plans to turn professional, depending on some of these amateur events coming up that you might get in. So you are planning to turn professional. So what are you kind of most excited about with that? How are you preparing for that right now? How's that going?
That's always something I've wanted to do ever since I started playing competitive golf. I've had a lot of friends in the last few years that have made the jump. So I'm really excited to be out there with some of my old teammates again. I know you've talked to Taylor. Just being out here with her and Alice again, it'll just be really fun. Reminds me of old times. So that'll be fun. Yeah. And just kind of just get back on the grind. I mean, right now everything's kind of stopped. So I'm definitely looking forward to being able to play competitively again. So that's just been a little bit of a challenge with practice, just trying to motivate myself. And I think I need to make some changes with kind of the way I practice right now, just keep that intensity there so I don't get a little lazy. Yeah. But that's just another challenge that comes with anything. So it's just been fun just trying to think and plan ahead and talk to some friends about some stuff. So it's been pretty cool.
That's good. Yeah, what you said is what I know a lot of junior players are going through right now. And this episode, some people may not listen to this until this whole phase has passed. Others may maybe listening to it right in the heart of it. But I know I've been asked by a lot of junior players, you know, how do I stay competitive? How do I stay, you know, I think there's a point of needing to relax a little bit and kind of enjoying this for the fact that it's already stressful. But, you know, a lot of them are going six, 8 weeks right now without tournaments and just like you said, kind of getting lazy and bored. I mean, it's easy to do, especially when you're completely out of your routine for not having school or whatever. But any suggestions that anything that, you know, you've been able to yet to kind of help you with that in terms of your practice and your time out there, anything that's clicked with you so far, maybe to help you stay in that, like I said, that competitive mindset?
Yeah. So obviously we start our online classes this coming week. So once that starts, I'll have like certain times of the day where I have class. So that kind of helps me build practice schedule or what things I'm going to do with like workouts and extra stuff. I'm going to try to make it just as real to what I would be doing if I was at Furman right now with class and then have my practice and workouts. Just try to have us actually write down a schedule with times so I can keep myself accountable, because it's easy just to kind of sit around and not do too much or just go to practice and just kind of piddle around. So just maybe write up some practice plans with some specifics. I mean, I don't have to spend 6 hours out there every day right now. I don't want to kill myself just because I do have so much time. But just maybe there's a certain thing that I want to do with after I've looked at my stats from the season and just kind of focus on that for a couple hours, or do play or with a goal or something. Just things just to keep your brain sharp so you don't get, like you said, too bored or lazy.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that is one, like you said, trying to look at the positives just made me kind of think about that. It could be something that long-term for you could be a positive that you had to figure out how to do this sooner than later, because that is a tough adjustment. I know going out of college golf is a kind of a positive adjustment going from junior golf to college, because you go from no routine or you know, you're in school, but from a practice perspective, you're really out there by yourself. You don't have structure. Yeah. And then you get that in college and now you're having to go back to that again. So it's almost back to junior golf days in a way of, you know, having to figure out that structure on your own. Yes. And that's what you're going to have out on tour a lot too. So maybe in a weird way, there's that little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing that like college golf has really taught me, is kind of how I can build that scheduled routine for myself. Cause I've obviously been with Jeff for 4 years, just trying to figure out what works best for me. And at this point, I think I've gotten that down. So just like you said, starting this a little bit earlier, that's probably a positive looking forward. So.
Yeah. Well, that certainly can be, because it is a big adjustment going from, you know, again, even though you've got a lot of time that you dictate on your own in college, you do when you get to practice a lot of times, that time is kind of planned for you and scheduled for you and workouts and all that. And now you have to decide if and when you go. And like I said, it's easy to get, you know, a little lackadaisical about it. I can definitely relate to that more than I probably should have gotten lackadaisical about it. That's a whole other episode, but anyways, well, maybe, you know, just in talking about Furman, what I know we kind of joked before, you feel like it's been a long time since you went through the recruiting process, but what, you know, what was it about Furman, maybe, you know, some of those girls, I've got several girls myself who are getting ready to make decisions, and, you know, some of them have a couple options they feel like are really good, others just can't settle on one. What are some things that made you make your decision about where you wanted to go and what influenced, and then maybe now that you're done, what do you feel like was, you know, maybe other things you should have considered or things that you did that reminded you that you did make the right decision?
Yeah, so when I was being recruited, Kelly was still our head coach, but Jeff was still there, and I just spent a lot of time with both of them just kind of talking just about how they do things. Like, I talked a lot with a lot of the girls. I've known Taylor since probably, I think it was her freshman or sophomore year. So just like building those relationships with the girls And that really kind of helped me to get like an inside look as to what went on and like how things were run and stuff like that. And I really just loved the way that Kelly was able to bring in the girls and Jeff was able to develop. And I really felt that if I came in with an open mind for Jeff, and I think he could really develop me. And obviously that seemed to come true. But and I just really love the small campus feel. I know for me, football wasn't really as important just because we have so many schools around here, with Clemson and all South Carolina and all that. That wasn't a priority for me because if I wanted to go to games, it wasn't like I had to drive forever. I could do that. And then obviously like the REK golf facility is absolutely amazing. I think it's one of the best in the country. And it, for me, it was just a lot about like the golf part because I was really focused on that, still am. And then Furman obviously is a very renowned, well-renowned academic institution. That was very important to me also. So I think now that I'm finished, definitely parts of me wish I would have gone to a football school just for Saturdays because we play a lot on the weekend. But I don't know if that really would have changed my decision. So I'm very happy with where I ended up.
Yes, I obviously haven't gone to Furman as well. You know, back then I was a football fan, but didn't think about that within my decision, I guess. Clemson didn't have a women's golf team at the time anyways. But I know that is something that girls think about, or and guys, you know, because that can be a difference in your college experience. Like you said, you do. You're playing a lot of times on Saturday. The odds of you getting to go to many games and do all that isn't as likely. It probably affects you more, I think, after you're done in terms of, you know, coming back as an alumni and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, there's always grad school. You can always still be, you know, I've been a Clemson fan since I was born and go to Clemson games. So we definitely don't want that to be too much of your decision if everything else lines up for what you feel, which can kind of relate.
And for me, it wasn't. Right. And for me, the football wasn't really a big deal. It's just like people talk about it and like ask about football team and stuff. In the U.S., it's just kind of, it's college football. That's what it is. But everything else at Furman just kind of lined up for me with the girls, coaches, school. And I just really loved everything about it. So I think while for some people that might be a huge factor, I think it's a good idea to just like consider. I mean, because there's not a good football team or a big football team, it doesn't mean that it's not a great place. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. It's, again, I think it's part of, everybody does have different priorities and different expectations for their college experience. But like I said, it's definitely not a one size fits all. And I've had some people ask, you know, well, what should we look at that's most important? And, you know, that's so different for everybody. And your priorities are different and your expectations are going to be different. So can get that, because Furman is a different environment than Clemson or South Carolina, and that, you know, you are getting a different kind of experience and environment that's different for everybody.
Yes. And when I visited Furman, I just knew, like, I tell people all the time, like, you'll just kind of know that's your fit, whether it's anywhere you go. I mean, some places I walked on and I was just like, no, I don't like this, like, immediately.
Yeah.
And then when you go and you're just like, wow, like, you don't want to leave. So, I mean,
yeah.
There's a fit for everyone, and I think just when you go there and you like see everything, you'll know. So,
yes, good advice there. I actually had that conversation with one of my girls yesterday, and was relating it to dating, and you know, that love at first sight thing. And yet, in some cases where not everybody has that, so some people, she's like, well, you know, I don't feel like I've had that yet, and I don't know that I'm going to, and you know, but you hear some people say, you know, they get there and they just know. And I told her, I was like, it's okay that you've got two places or a couple of places you like, that you just didn't have that. It's, you know, you may have a couple of places that, you know, that's not a bad thing either. So it's, it's, again, it's just different how different everybody has that experience. Well, talk a little bit maybe what one of the biggest challenges through playing college golf was for you, whether it was a specific incident or just maybe something over the 4 years that you really had to work at getting better at. What was something that was really kind of challenging for you through your college golf career?
I think probably was asking for help. I'm gonna like to do things like on my own and try to figure it out by myself. And I think over 4 years, I've learned like it's okay to ask for help, and it's probably good sometimes if you're struggling, whether it's with golf or school or anything. Because there have been times where like I'm struggling on the golf course or wherever, and I'm like, I just can't figure it out. And I ask Jeff, and like he fixes it in like 5 minutes. And then I just kind of learned from that, and just where I'm able to self-sustain now for the most part. Just that, I think people come in and kind of act like they got it all figured out with like, I want to do this track or this major. And like, I came and I had no idea what I wanted to do. And the academic aspect, I mean, most of the time, if you ask for help, professors are going to help you and try to lead you in the right direction because they care. And they know that you want to do the best you can. So I think for me, that was a huge thing, that kind of just learning that just because you ask for help doesn't mean like you can't do it by yourself. It's just, you just got to find the right way.
Yes, that's a very good, I think something we all kind of probably struggle with. Yeah. And I think there's probably a balance between, you know, people who need to learn to ask for help, and then some people who actually might need to not always ask for things and do try to figure out how to do things on their own sometimes. There is that balance there of, like you said, you want to feel like, I think some people feel like you said, that it's a lack of confidence or a negative thing if you ask for help, because you want to do it yourself, you want to be independent, but yet knowing that there's times that you have to, but then knowing when to ask for it and when to maybe say, hey, maybe I can figure this out myself. Maybe I can just open up Google and go ask a question or go do some research and homework myself instead of asking dumb questions that I could find out myself. I think sometimes people take that too far, I feel like, and ask for help. Maybe a little too much, but I could definitely see that being a challenge to overcome, you know, and just knowing you know, when to ask. And some coaches are bigger on, they want you to come ask instead of them always telling you what to do. They want to kind of build that trust with you, that you're, you know, you trust them enough to ask them those things instead of them always just telling you what to do or when to do it, you know, giving you that space to need to ask them in a way, I guess.
And that's where I've been so like thankful for Jeff, because like my freshman year, like on the golf course, I just kind of did my own thing. They didn't really mess with me. And which was fine, but there were times where I did struggle, and Jeff would kind of just place himself with me whether I wanted it or not, and he would help me, and then I kind of learned to ask for that over the years, and so that's been really helpful for me. And then just him being there when I've asked for help, that's kind of taught me like how I can fix things when he's not there or when he can't be there. So that just kind of said that balance, that's been really helpful when I have asked for help, and just trying to learn for the future so I don't always have to ask, I can kind of do it by myself. So I think it's just been really important for, I think, freshmen coming in to realize that, because a lot of people think coming in as an athlete like you got everything together, but we're human, we need help, so we don't know what the answers to everything. So
I think it's like you said, as humans, not just, I think, college athletes and the freshmen, I think that that's a thing that we all need to listen to a lot of times. And like you said, I think we live in a world of information being so much at your hands that is a positive, but still continuing to not be afraid to ask for help or to just ask for, you know, to just ask questions or be interested in things and want to learn and get better and not just be so stuck in what you think is right. And you think it, you know, you think you know how to do everything kind of attitude, I guess. So.
Yes.
Well, on another note of that, what made college golf just, I know it's not always fun, but I know there are lots of fun moments and rewarding moments. What were some of the things that really made that, you know, just such a great time and really something that, you know, girls should, you know, if they're hesitant about not playing, you know, to make them want to do it? What were some things that really just stand out about your college experience?
Oh gosh, I have so many things that stand out. Definitely the girls. I mean, my freshman year, we had such a great environment. Everyone was really close, and it just made me feel so much more comfortable to be myself kind of around this new group of girls. We've just had so many experiences. I mean, I know Carly and I have been junior golf together, and then now we're here at Furman. So like, just like those relationships that I've made with a lot of the girls, it's just something that I probably wouldn't get anywhere else. and like we've traveled the country together. We have so many just things we talk about. It's just those relationships to me are just priceless, and that's something that I'm so thankful for that Furman has given me.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I know that too. It's like you said, and I think that's probably something that I think girls going through the process have a hard time finding out. And I think anybody does. I think sometimes it's something that might be a lucky kind of thing that happens, because especially you, I know you went through the process before the rules even changed, which have helped and kind of hurt.
Yes.
But in some cases, you make your decision on where you're going without really knowing who's going to be on the team, because there for a while,
yes,
I was making decisions so early. Now, girls are actually getting to take a chance to meet the team because there's more official visits going on now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're also still seeing, for the most part, you're only seeing the girls who are going to be juniors and seniors. You don't necessarily know who the other freshmen and sophomores are, which,
right.
I mean, that's kind of always been the case. So, in a way, you have to kind of just take that chance and hope that the coach that you're committing to knows how to create that team environment. I do think both Coach Hester, you know, as she was recruiting you all, and now Coach Hall, and you know, being able to know how to create that good team dynamic as a coach, I think is what's important, because again, you as players don't really know who you're going in with a lot of times, and you only know so much about each other that it's a little bit of that coach kind of responsibility that you have to put that trust in them, that, you know, that the other players on the team are going to be good fits for each other too.
Yeah, and that's another thing that like I would advise people is maybe like let's say you commit somewhere, reach out to the coach and maybe get contact info for the girls who are going to be there when you're there, and try to reach out to them and get to know them. And that's something that I did my freshman year. Obviously I live very close to Furman, so I was able to go up and practice a few times a month and just like hang out with the girls and stuff, but not all people can do that. But I think just reaching out and getting to know them, I think it makes the transition a lot easier, and you can kind of create those relationships before you get to school, and that can help foster those experiences that I've had, the positive ones. So
yes, I agree. It's like I said, it's something I've really encouraged the girls, again, because the process has changed. Some of them have been able to take more official visits where you actually spend time with the girls on the team before you make your decision, and you get to base a little bit off of that. So really, that's one thing I've liked to see now that the process has changed a little bit, is that the girls have been able to do that a little bit more, because there for a while, you were basing your decision in some cases before the, you know, even seniors would already have been graduated. Freshmen would have already been graduated before you got there, or your visit wasn't even there sometimes. So when you went on your visit to, you know, your unofficial visit, a lot of times it wasn't even a time when the team was there. You didn't, you know, you never got to meet the team. So like I said, now I think you're seeing a little bit more with more of these visits happening during the fall semester, when the girls get to go in, they get to see and I've seen that be a bigger and bigger influence on the girls' decisions, is how they feel the team dynamic is when they get there, and spending that time with the team away from the coach, they see a little bit more what it's really going to be like. I think that's something I think that was missing out of the process there for a while. That was just a big awakening for some girls when they got there, and the team environment was nothing like what they thought it was going to be, but they really, from a recruiting perspective, didn't really get to see that either.
Yeah, and that can be a huge like driving factor into why you go somewhere. I mean, if you love the coaches, but if you go on an official visit and you see that the team is maybe not what you thought, or something that's just not how you see it, that could be a huge game changer. So I think that's really important. If you have the opportunity to meet the girls and just kind of see, because you are going to spend like every waking hour with them for 4 years.
Yes.
So.
yes. I know. And a lot of coaches have said this too, and I know it is a big part of it. Maybe you can even shed a little light, because a lot of the coaches, like I said, will give the advice as well, and everybody will say, you got to go to a school where if you're not playing golf, you want to be at the school. I 100% believe that to be the case, but I personally, especially with a sport like golf, feel like the team environment and the relationship with the coach dictates so much of your experience, that a lot of times I think a school can tend to kind of fit you for other reasons, but that I feel like that relationship with the team and relationship with the coach is just seems to be what makes everybody either, you know, really, really happy and really have a good experience or really not. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem as much to be the school, I feel like, a lot of times, but yet a lot of people are told that,
definitely,
you know.
Agree with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for me, that's been the case. I mean, we have, my freshman year, we had 7 girls on the team, and now we have 9, but we're such a small group compared to a lot of other sports, so we do spend a lot of time together, and it's really, you can, like, escape and go have your own time, but it's, we play together, we work out together, practice together, like, we're, and there's only 9 of us, so, I mean, it's, we're with each other all the time, and coaches are around us all the time, so I think that's a huge thing. I mean, yeah, the school, I mean, of course, the school is important, too, but I think, especially, like you said, with the sport, like golf, it's, the team and the coaches are a huge aspect of that.
Yes, yeah, I definitely, especially in comparison, like I said, to other sports where they have multiple, you know, multiple coaches sometimes. I mean, you know, golf has an assistant, but yeah, you know, you have multiple coaches and you're a bigger team and the travel is just different. You know, all that's not quite as tight knit as you are with golf, where you are, I mean, you're spending a lot of time together and your coach has a lot of influence on what, you know, what you do every day in practice and being such an individual sport. It does. Mm-hmm. Like that, and any players who come to me about not being happy or wanting to transfer or something like that, it usually goes to those relationships. I hardly ever hear them if they just don't like the school.
Oh, yeah. It's normally not the school. It's the...
That seems to be. And again, I know that it's easy to say, and I get where the coaches are coming from when they talk about trying to make sure the school's a good fit, too. But I just...
Oh, for sure. I mean, especially with academics and stuff, I mean, that's a huge part. But I think with what you said with the team and coaches, I think it was more important. So
Well, talk a little bit more, and then we'll kind of wrap this up and let you get on to your day. But we kind of touched on this a little bit, but you know, most everybody that is listening are some of the younger girls going through junior golf and their parents. What are you know, what are some things, and I know we'll always ask this question, the coaches talk about it, you know, and I get asked a good bit, just, you know, how can you prepare more for that transition into college golf and college life? And in some ways, there's only so much you can do because it's going to be a different schedule. It's going to be a different demand.
Yeah.
It's going to be a different transition. But, and looking back, is there anything that you felt like you just had no idea college golf was going to be like that maybe you could have been a little more aware of, or a few things that you might could have done to ease that transition just a little bit, you know, that maybe a junior player might could just kind of add into their routines or just be a little bit more aware of maybe?
I would say, well, I guess my freshman year, we just played a lot of golf, and like I played a lot of tournaments in junior golf, but I didn't like play 18 holes like 2 or 3 times a week like we did when I like got to school. So like just my body was a little bit tired from that every week. So I think maybe incorporating that into some practice would have been good. And probably, which I was pretty good at this, just like talking with the girls before I got there. I think that really helped me. I'm glad I did that just to ease the transition. And I think when you go like on a visit or something, I think it's important to like see all aspects of the campus, just like housing, like each housing building, if you're able to. I think because I know my freshman year I had only seen like the nicer dorms, and I lived in not so nice dorm my freshman year. Not that it wasn't a shock, but I was just like, oh, this is really as bad as they said it was, kind of deal. So just that. But I mean, I don't know, I feel like college transition, each person deals with it differently. And I think because I'm really close with my family, so that was a little bit hard, like, the first couple weeks, just, like, being away from my brother, especially. But I think just keeping that support system and having that is really important. And, again, like, talk to people if you're struggling or something, your parents, teammates, coaches, anyone that you feel comfortable talking to. I think that's really important to let people know what's going on so they can try to help you.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. And like I said, for everybody, it's different. I do see some junior players who are much more independent, and, you know, their parents, for whatever reason, you know, have you know, maybe there's multiple kids in the family or both parents work, so they weren't as much to, you know, to be as, you know, maybe not overbearing, but just weren't as involved with everything and so on, where, you know, it's definitely different transitions for everybody and different things you've got to learn and adjust to. And I know one thing that maybe Sajid can shed a little light on what it really is about college golf that helps you get better. But I know there was one thing that a lot of the girls talk about, and it's, again, it's something I know that's really hard for junior players. I was actually, before all this came up, trying to get this going here in the upstate a little bit. I know for junior players, it's hard to get that constant competition, but that is a big adjustment and a big thing that I know a lot of girls say they weren't expecting about college golf that helped them get better was everything turns into such a competition. Every time you play, you know, you're qualifying a lot of your drills, a lot of that kind of stuff is so competitive that that's a lot of what helps you stay in that mindset. And I know, again, I know it's tough to do when you're, you know, on your own practicing and you don't have a team and you don't have a coach creating that. Was that something that helped, you know, how much did that kind of help you get better? Is, you know, was that a little bit of a surprise to you going into college golf that it was that kind of environment? Did you feel like you kind of were prepared for that as a junior? How was that?
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely a reason why I got a lot better my freshman year, just like the planned practices and things. I kind of learned how to practice better, just more efficiently. And yeah, the competitions and qualifying and stuff. I think for me, it was just more reps and that competitive mindset. Because when I would practice and as a junior, I would have like competitions with myself, with my brother, with like other juniors who played at my club. It's just a little bit, I wasn't doing it as frequently as we did it in college. And like you said, everything is a competition. I mean, when you have a group of girls who are really competitive, it's just really fun to do all those things and try to push each other to be the best. So I think it's hard sometimes when you're by yourself as a young junior, but I think if there's anyone there who's able to play, even if it's your dad, just to have somebody there to push you, even if your dad doesn't play golf or your mom or whoever it is, just kind of pushing you just to be better. And their skill level doesn't matter, obviously. It's just have somebody there so you're not just like playing against the wall, you know?
Yeah, like I said, that's something I know we talk about, and I try to help the girls get a little bit more of that. And in terms of suggesting drills and those kinds of things, I know it's easier said than done, and they will hopefully appreciate that environment when they get to college golf and have teammates, and hopefully they find a team of very like-minded individuals and a coach who's very hands-on with those things. I know that some girls feel like they don't always get that in college golf, but hopefully that's what they get, because it does. It helps. I know, again, the transition you're going in is kind of having to revert back to that. You know, when you get out on tour, I know for us, we did have some, you know, sometimes we do practice rounds where we would have a skins game or something, or try to, but you're kind of then switched back to that mode of kind of on your own, a little bit here and there, but then you kind of have to go back to that. So I know it's something you can really hopefully appreciate when you have, you know, having that in college golf and how much that environment helps you get better and take advantage of that as you get there for having that. Because I know, like I said, high school golf doesn't really provide that for most girls, and it's their first time for that. And it can kind of be a little overwhelming in some cases because, you know, it's a constant kind of grind that they're just not used to, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, especially I know when I came in to Furman my freshman year, I came into a team that was really, really good. So, I mean, it definitely pushed me, and it's can be, like you said, overwhelming at first, just trying to figure out your way and where your position is on the team, what place you fall into. But I think that competition really helped me kind of ground my feet a little bit and try to figure out where I belonged. So, I'm really competitive when it comes to that kind of stuff. So just trying to do my best, put my head down and work really hard. That was something that I really loved about it, and that's what's helped me kind of get where I am. It's just there's always some sort of competition, whether it's an out like stated competition or if it's just like you just want to be the best today or whatever, you know what I mean? So that's just something that really helped me just kind of get better, and like I call it like competition tight, like my mind. So just helping keep my mind ready at all times to go play competitively.
Yes, that's good. I can relate to the competitive feeling. It's very similar, even though I don't compete at any kind of level with the workouts we do, but can feel that. It's kind of the same thing right now. We're just kind of in this lull period of like, you know, wanting to try to stay fresh. We're all kind of working out on our own at home now. And it's just, it's not the same, you know, because I don't work out. Me personally work out just to be working out. We do it because we like to do these competitions, or we're like, we really like to compete. And when we do workouts together, it's a little bit of a competition against each other in a way. So I can kind of, you know, relate to it in that sense and know that it's hard to keep that mentality as much as you want to. If when you get in an environment that really kind of fosters that, it makes it so much easier, and you don't realize it until you get away from it. And then you're trying to do it on your own, and how hard that can be. So hopefully as you get into playing professionally, you can kind of find that environment. Like you said, you get to go out there with some of the girls. That was kind of, same thing when we all graduated. I stayed amateur for a few more weeks, played the U.S. Open that year. And so all the other girls that I had played college golf with and against were out there for several weeks before I got out there. So I kind of felt like the kind of lost little person when I first got out there, because they'd already kind of, you know, gotten used to it. But it was, you know, it is a little bit back to college days, but yet totally different. But it is nice to get back out there with everybody and doing that. It's definitely something that I hope you will enjoy and thrive in and really be able to do well. It is it's a tough life. It's a grind. It's a struggle, but it is so much fun and so worth it, no matter what comes out of it in the end from a financial perspective or success perspective. You do learn a lot as you're out there. And I know it's not for everybody, and there, I know there's a lot of girls that don't look to do that, but glad to hear that's your plan, and definitely wish you all the best as you get ready to go on that journey, hopefully sooner than later. Hopefully there is still, you know, tours left to play on and tournaments left to play in. I'm sure it will. Everything will eventually get back to normal, and we'll get back to things, just maybe with a little different take on things, and a lot of us probably a little different appreciation for what, you know, what we did have and what was there that didn't just get completely like pulled out from under us. But well, as we wrap it up, anything else you want to share? Any other insight, like I said, to any of the young players out there that are going through this and may have plans to, maybe similar plans to what you have, or they're just looking to play college golf, or maybe they're frustrated with things right now. You know, any advice you might want to share with them, especially, like I said, I'm big on the girl side of things. We've got a lot of girls that listen in who, I'm sure many, you know, hearing you were the number one ranked player, probably really kind of look up to what you've done, and that'll continue to be the case. So anything you want to share before we sign off?
I think a huge piece of advice that I've been given in the past is like, only control what you can control. And especially in times like this right now, where you don't really know what's happening tomorrow or next week, just focus on what you can do to kind of control your situation. Good examples for me right now, I can't really control whether the Curtis Cup is going to happen or not. Isn't that something I really want? And I would love to be able to play in that in June. But at this point, I don't really know what's going to happen. And so I'm just kind of working each day on small goals that I have. That's the only thing I can control. And if it plays or not, that's really not up to me. So I think you can relate that to anything, whether if it's, you don't get offered a scholarship from the school you really want to go to, or you don't get into an event that you really wanted to play in. Everything happens for a reason. And I think if you just kind of focus on the controllables to what you can do, I think that can be really beneficial and alleviate some frustration that can be unnecessary and harmful.
Yes, I agree. I did a group chat this past week with all of my girls, because I knew I was getting a lot of questions from them. And to begin with, I didn't really have a lot of answers, because we weren't, you know, nobody really had a lot of answers. So I was trying to talk to some coaches, talk to Coach Hall, talk to some coaches, just trying to get some insight in general. And so I did a group chat with them. And I think Coach Hall and I had talked about this, was I told him, I was like, listen, if you've had yourself, you know, your pity party, that's okay. Like, or if you haven't had it yet, like, you're probably going to have a point during all this where you just want to cry because something else is going to be closed. And like, it's okay to have those moments. You don't have to be so tough about it and just handle everything like it's just okay. But as soon as you let yourself do it, give yourself that time, and then you've got to get back to focusing on the things that you can be doing and not the things you can't be doing.
Right.
But we all do. I mean, I'm sure I said, when you all found out about, you know, the seasons, and, you know, then you find out, you know, school's done, everything probably, you know, so those things just kind of keep hitting you. And like I said, it's okay to have those, you know, upset feelings and frustrations and sometimes mm-hmm. feel like that, but the whole got to be able to put that behind you and then get back to what you can be doing and what you do have and just kind of move yep. on from that for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, I enjoyed catching up with you and chatting. Like I said, I know we really, you know, haven't a whole lot just through our through paths crossing and everything, but not really had a chance mm-hmm. When y'all were all there playing as a, you know, I try to kind of not stay clear by any means, try to be there, but also just kind of be there from a distance in a way, I guess, and just kind of watch. Now that you're done, yes. I'm just definitely glad to really get a chance to talk to you about your time. And I am, as an, you know, Furman alum, very, very just proud of what you've done and how you've represented the school and excited to be a, you know, fellow alumni with you and excited for your future and what you can do moving forward. And like you said, glad to have another just really awesome women's golf alum come out and go hopefully, you know, they said whether it's, you know, having success on the golf course or anything else that you're able to do. I know you will represent all that well and just the women's golf in general from everything I've seen of you since did kind of know you a little bit as junior golfer here in the area and everything. So yep. appreciate you yep. joining and taking the time and so wish you the best of luck and
of
everything.
Course.
I'm down the street from you, so if you ever need anything, you know how to get in touch with me, and we're happy to help in any
yes,
way. But
thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining on this episode. Hope you enjoyed a little bit of insight from you know, a rough ending to her college career at Furman, but a great career that it was, and wishing Nat all the success moving forward. And thank everybody for joining again on this episode of Tap Into College Golf.